The Sportscast, May 27th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Apple Podcast. And if you're listening on Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and a review. You could also listen to us on your smart speaker. Also, visit our website, thesportscast.net. Also, get our app, The Sportscast. And also, only for iOS. What a win last night. The Golden State Warriors clinched going to the big dance after beating the Mavericks in five games. Finally, well done. And then we'll talk about a little bit about college football recruiting. Today we have a special guest. I met in Starbucks. I meet a lot of people in Starbucks, actually. And we probably spoke about 30 minutes in sports, if I had to calculate it. Joseph Hastings. He is a reporter for On3 Sports, and they cover a lot of recruiting, college football, college basketball, and he's in Miami as well. Joseph, welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, Santiago, thank you so much for having me on. Looking forward to talking all sports, you know, college, high school, professional, ready to get into it. Excited about it.
Joseph Hastings, so tell us a little bit about your sports history and how did you get into On3?
All right, so sports history, just in general, like started watching the NFL in 2007. I'll never forget the Dallas Cowboys 13-3 season. Big fan of the Cowboys, and that's the one where Tony Romo and Jason Witten took that infamous trip to Mexico and lost in the second round against the Giants. So yeah, not really too good of a start there for my NFL life. But then the NBA started, really watching in 2010, kind of the back half of 2009, 2010. Kobe was my guy, Kobe Bryant. I actually have a book here in the background about Kobe. Big fan of his. And I started watching 2010. They won the finals against the Celtics, who we're going to be talking about on this show. And yeah, that's how my NBA fandom started. So a little bit of a better start there. But those are my two sports. You know, I watch college basketball, college football too. But the professional sports, that's my thing. And in terms of covering sports, started in 2017 covering the Florida Gators as a student at the University of Florida. Then kind of got my way into recruiting after doing some team coverage. Did a little bit of both, then focused on recruiting. Since then, I've covered Ohio State, Clemson, now covering the Alabama Crimson Tide down here in South Florida. And really excited about this next chapter. On3 is building something incredible. The database that we have created is phenomenal. I would encourage everyone to check it out. We've also started NIL coverage, name, image, and likeness, have a really good transfer portal website. So yeah, this new chapter I'm very, very excited about.
Yes, we'll talk about the NIL situation a little bit later on the show. On3 is very similar, which Joseph explained to me over a cup of coffee, actually a cup of tea, really cold iced tea. Miami is so hot, you can't have hot coffee. He talked about similar to 247 Sports and Rivals.com and how these websites rank recruits, you know, or the teams in college football. Tell us a little bit about the formula and how'd you guys do this?
Yeah, so it's a little bit similar in terms of like the concept of covering high school football recruiting, but what we're trying to really kind of expand is, you know, the NIL, since that's such a big thing starting up. You know, if you go on our profiles for prospects, you'll see that there's an NIL section on there for you to click on there and see their NIL value. There's a lot that goes into the NIL valuation index, but it's a really good feature that you know, that we're setting the market for, we're setting the industry standard for. And then, you know, the transfer portal coverage is phenomenal. We have an excellent person in Matt Zenitz who breaks all the transfer portal news. And we have fan sites as well. We're adding even more. We're trying to be the standard for college football recruiting, college football coverage in general, just everything. We're just trying to knock it out the park. And we've done an excellent job only just over a year in, really. So, you know, the future is very bright here at On3.
On3.com, check it out. It is a lot of content. And, you know, you see a lot of these websites popping up, taking different angles. Now the NIL is here. It's here to stay.
Yeah, it is.
It's here to stay. But we'll get to that a little bit because we got to talk about Steph Curry and the Warriors. Last night, they beat the Mavericks 120-110. Klay Thompson, 32 points, Joseph, an impressive win. Like most of the game was Warriors leading. The Mavericks cut it to 10, but wasn't sufficient.
Yeah, it really wasn't. You know, the Warriors had like a 21-point lead or something at one point in the third quarter, and then next thing you know, the Mavericks had cut it down to 10 heading into the fourth. And, you know, you thought maybe the Mavericks will have enough, but they just expended so much energy on that comeback, and the Warriors have so much to throw at you. Because here's the problem with how these two teams are structured. Everything rides on Luka Doncic for the Dallas Mavericks. You know, you have some good contributors, Jalen Brunson and others as well, but it's mainly Luka. Whereas with the Warriors, you know, Andrew Wiggins, a former number one overall draft pick, is their fifth best player, which is just incredible to think about, because you got Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole. You know, some people put Jordan Poole over Klay Thompson right now. You probably won't get too much of a disagreement from me. And then Draymond Green, who's the facilitator, the glue of that team. And then you got Andrew Wiggins, who may be the best fifth player, you know, out there in the NBA remaining in the playoffs right now. Just top to bottom, I really like what Golden State does. And yeah, I think they should be the favorites to win the finals, even if it's against Miami or if it's against Boston. They're just playing at an incredible level.
Joseph called it. Okay. 32 points by Klay Thompson. Steph only 15, which is kind of odd. Jordan Poole 16. Kevin Looney 10, Wiggs. I love calling him Wiggs. 18 points. This Warriors team making it to the championship for the sixth time in 8 years. Now they're compared to the Bulls, Celtics, and Lakers in the 80s. Joseph, how would you compare this Warriors team? Is this one of the best teams we're seeing before our eyes?
Yeah, this is something truly to behold, because like LeBron was kind of his own dynasty in respect, you know, going to 8 straight finals, but it was with the Heat and then with the Cavaliers. So, you know, the Heat had like a mini dynasty. They got 2 championships out of it. The Cavaliers, I don't even think you can call it that. They only got 1 finals, but LeBron was his own dynasty. But we haven't seen anything like this at all in the modern era, just in terms of where Golden State was at initially, where they were with Kevin Durant, where they were right after Kevin Durant, and then where they are now. Because you think about it, they go to back-to-back NBA finals. They win one, the first one. Then they blow the 3-1 lead against the Cavs. You get Kevin Durant. They're pretty much unstoppable. James Harden and Chris Paul really pushed them with the Rockets, but they were really unstoppable. They went back-to-back. And then after that, everything kind of collapses. You know, you lose Kevin Durant. You lose Klay Thompson for 2 years. Steph Curry pretty much misses an entire year. And they missed the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. So to get back to the finals after all of that is one of the most remarkable things I've seen in my NBA, in my time watching the NBA, and really just comparable to the Bulls, you know, when the Bulls won 3 straight and then Jordan retired. You know, I put quotation marks around that. He retired and, you know, they didn't win for 2 straight years. The Rockets took those 2 and then they came back and won 3 straight. If Golden State can do that, they can win 2 or 3 finals after everything they went through. It's going to be looked at as the second best dynasty of all time, maybe the third best. You know, those old folks, we'll put the Celtics, you know, the 11 finals in 13 years above even the Bulls. But you'd have to put them in that Celtics-Bulls category.
We had a conversation at that Starbucks, which I didn't record it because it was so freaking good. You were saying Steve Kerr is more of a Popovich school of mindset than Phil Jackson. Please tell them why.
He played under Coach Pop and just kind of knows, you know, how to spread the ball and how to get it to his players. You know, everybody's moving on for Golden State. You know, with the Mavericks, you look at them and Luka kind of has the ball and everyone's just kind of standing there waiting for him to do his own thing. Steph Curry, their Golden State's best player, is running behind screens, just going all over the place. And it's just incredible the dedication and how he's been able to get everybody to buy in. And I also say the Pop mindset in terms of everyone being selfless. You know, Tim Duncan was one of the greatest players of all time then, yet you see him, you know, taking pay cuts and doing what's best for the team. Steph Curry allowing Kevin Durant to come in and be the best player on his team. Like, it's that kind of mindset, and then also how they play on the court that reminds me of Pop.
Yeah, I really agree with you that, because it's not – the Warriors are not using the triangle. They're using something more very familiar to the Spurs. But they're speeding quick. I see that third, fourth quarter push. I don't know if it's on purpose, but it feels like they just go full 100% energy, and that's where teams collapse, like the Mavericks. The Mavericks, Luka Doncic carrying the team, beat the Jazz, beat the Suns. What do you think about this team's future? Do they need another star? What is lacking for the Mavericks to get into that one more, hurrah to get into the championship?
I mean, right now they remind me of LeBron James with the Cleveland Cavaliers, that first go around. You know, you got the big superstar, you got some decent pieces around them, but you take LeBron, you take Luka off that team, and they're not even making the playoffs. So what do you do? What did LeBron do? LeBron went and got two more superstars. Can Dallas do that? Probably not. I would love to see Kevin Durant on this team. I think Kevin Durant solves a lot of those issues. It takes pressure off Luka Doncic. You know, I've seen some people say they need a big man. I don't want that. I want Luka to have free reign to attack the rim whenever he wants to. I don't want a big man clogging up the paint. So you get Kevin Durant there. You know, Luka can get into the paint, collapse the defense. Kevin Durant can be waiting on the wing for a wide open shot, or Dorian Finney-Smith or Reggie Bullock. You know, you got shooters around. So get Kevin Durant in the fold somehow, some way. And this team is going to the finals next year. But that's like an easy solution for any team, right? You put Kevin Durant on the field, they're making it to the finals. You put Kevin Durant on the Mavs, they're making it to the finals.
Yeah, and Kevin Durant is actually what I heard with the Brooklyn Nets. They don't want to extend Kyrie's contract. So I'm not saying he's going to be traded or anything, but that could be indicative that Durant says, look, if Kyrie leaves, I just can't do this by myself.
Yeah, you know, he absolutely may do that. And that's why I kind of threw out his name, because this isn't a situation where, like, I was seeing people talk about the Lakers head coaching position, like, oh, just get Nick Nurse. Well, Lakers, you don't have any draft capital. You don't have anything to send Toronto. And, you know, I'm pretty sure Nick Nurse would want to be there where he's at anyways. This could be a situation where Kevin Durant may want out. And, you know, thus putting him in a position to go to the West and go back to the West, a place that he's somewhat familiar with, an area. And, you know, because he played for Texas, the Texas Longhorns. I think it would be a decent fit. I would like to see it more so than him in Phoenix.
That's true.
Phoenix doesn't deserve Kevin Durant. Phoenix had the best record in the NBA. Chris Paul and Devin Booker just collapsed in Game 7 at home. They don't need Kevin Durant. Dallas absolutely needs Kevin Durant.
Speaking about the Suns, they struggled with the Pelicans. They went to having games, and also with the Mavericks. Booker wasn't all there, healthy, I believe. What happened to the Suns? Was it health, or hey, the Mavericks, you know, just caught up with them?
I mean, Chris Paul just kind of faltered. You know, after he turned 37, it went downhill from there. It just wasn't the same player. Because without Chris Paul playing the way that he was in the first round, they don't beat the Pelicans, in my opinion. Just with the Devin Booker injury and, you know, how incredible the heroics that Chris Paul had. I mean, 14 of 14 in one game speaks for itself. So I think it was a combination of, you know, Devin Booker's health and Chris Paul just not playing the way we expected him to play. And I mean, it's unfortunate, because I like CP3 in terms of, you know, who he is as a player. I think he kind of borders that gray area a little bit. He dips into that gray area, you know, in terms of the competitive, you know, spirit that he shows at times, and the flopping and how he gets on people's nerves under their skin. So, but I still want to see Chris Paul win a championship. It's just not going to be with the Phoenix Suns. And
Best chance was last year.
Their best chance was last year, up 2-0 in the finals. You got to win that series. I'd love to see, actually, Chris Paul. I know it will never happen, but just like the NBA 2K mindset, you know, if you can make any trade happen, I'd do Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook and get Chris Paul with LeBron and Anthony Davis. I know people say, oh, last thing you need is, you know, more age on that Lakers team. Just go all in for 1 year. Hope that everybody's healthy. That's a championship-winning team there.
That would be interesting. Not sure what's going to happen with that Laker team. They first need to find a coach and see where they go. Let's go to the East. Miami Heat down 3-2, lost at home two nights ago in the pivotal game 5. Tonight is back in Boston. Celtics are looking good. Joe, can you give me some hope for the Heat, or Celtics are going to close it out tonight?
It's over. This will be a blowout. It'll be a 20-25 point blowout. I think it's done. The Heat team, man, like they're special. They're really special. But you lose Tyler Hero for back-to-back games. Jimmy Butler got hurt in that game three win. I just think it's over. That was a tough performance that they showed at home in game five. And, you know, they played it was a close game up until the half, and then you just let the Celtics take over from there. I don't know. I think this Heat team with Eric Spoelstra has backbone to them. I think Jimmy Butler is a really good competitor, but Boston's going to be at home game six. Jason Tatum has been, three conference finals in his NBA career, and it's kind of coming up short each time. Unfortunately, I think he closes the deal here. I think this is his 40-point game, it's a staple game for him in his career. I think it's over.
It's his moment, of course, and then, of course, taking away the home court advantage from the Heat is very pivotal. If they lose tonight, Celtics, it's over. Like, the Heat will win game seven. But back with the Heat, I think one of the issues was health, you know, Hero being out, Butler not 100% for sure, maybe 60 if I have to, you know, have a guess. But that's something the Heat was lacking in this series, had a good start. But this Miami Heat, you know, do you think they have the right pieces in place, or do you think they need that extra, maybe Kevin Durant? No, I'm kidding. what do you think about this Heat team's roster?
Yeah, no, I like the Heat team roster. I just think the Celtics are the best team in the East. I know the Heat are the number one seed, but Celtics from like January on have been the best team in the NBA. Some will argue. I think it'll be a 7-game series with the Warriors, and it'll be a really close series between those two. And you know, I'm not necessarily writing off the Heat completely. Is there a scenario in which they go to Boston today and win it all? And win the game? Yes. And then they go to game seven at home. I would favor them. I think there is that scenario. But this Boston Celtics team, what they can throw at you defensively, the length that they have and the scoring, they have a superstar in Jason Tatum. And you got good veteran pieces there too about Al Horford, and Marcus Smart has, you know, experience. And it's just too much, I think, for the Heat to handle. I like this Heat roster. I don't know if Kyle Lowry is necessarily the answer at point guard. I think he comes up a little bit too short in the postseason, but
scores 0 points game five.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that's just who Kyle Lowry is. I mean, they with him and DeMar DeRozan, I'll never forget those playoff collapses and them just not showing up at all. Kyle Lowry helped them get over the. I mean, Kawhi Leonard helped them get over the hump, but yeah, I think that's the only position I would really look to seriously try and upgrade if I were the Heat. You know, just get a point guard who will be reliable in the playoffs, and I don't know who that would be, to be honest with you. I'd actually love to see Donovan Mitchell with the Heat team.
That'd be interesting from Utah Jazz. And also Celtics, give him credit, new coach this year, first year, taking like this far. I mean, and yes, some people say, well, the Bucks didn't have Middleton, right? But, you know, but this Celtics team is legit. Legit. Marcus Smart, you know, Tatum, Al Horford, you know, contributing. But not enough for the Warriors. Not enough to beat the Warriors, right?
Yeah, I think maybe if the Celtics have home court advantage, I would give them the edge. Yeah, they don't. And it's by 2 games. So that's why the regular season matters so much. I mean, if the Celtics get off to that hot start like a month earlier, maybe we're looking at a different NBA Finals coming up here. Maybe the Celtics are the number one seed in the East, and they already have this series wrapped up with the Heat. Like that's how important the regular season is, and that's why you don't see guys take games off, especially when those seedings are on the line. But yeah, I think the Celtics team is legit, and if it wasn't for the Warriors just revitalizing themselves and getting back to that 2015, 2016 form. I think they could win it, but I've got to be in a 7-game series. I think it'll go down to the wire.
They go far. We'll see what happens. Warriors have experience in that level of basketball. Yes. Steph Curry looking good. I think last night was the first Western Conference MVP award ever awarded.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I saw the Magic Johnson MVP award. And I don't know. I'm surprised that they did that now. You know, I think it's good to recognize the players, but it kind of makes you think, man, like all those guys in previous years, you know, like how many Eastern Conference Finals MVPs LeBron would have been, you know, putting that on his resume. But it's nice. I think it's nice that they're adding that.
It's nice to have that trophy case a little full, you know, and yeah, I'll collect that Western Conference MVP or the Eastern Conference one, which, oh, wait, here's another prediction. Who's going to win the Eastern Conference MVP? probably be Tatum, right?
Yeah, it's going to be Jason Tatum. Man, this kid is something else, man. I saw it in him that first year when they went to the conference finals against LeBron, game 7, and he dunked on Bron and gave him a little bit of a bump. Like, he's got that swagger to him. He's got that intensity. I don't know if he necessarily has a Kobe mindset, but he trained with Kobe, and I see some similarities in their game. So, I'm really high on Jason Tatum. I'm still upset to this day that the Lakers passed on him, and like he would have changed the game for us.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Lakers passed on him, and Philadelphia traded up to get Markelle Fultz in that draft.
I mean, I always hear about the Knicks passing on Steph Curry.
Yeah.
But good thing, I mean, he's pretty lucked out because, hey, I don't think he would have won anything there, I think.
Well, Minnesota selected two point guards ahead of Steph Curry. I believe it was Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio.
I wonder if he's like those NFL players that write down, these are the teams I selected ahead of me or whatever. Anyways, this past last week, actually, Nick Saban said some comments, maybe said a little too much. Jimbo Fisher spending some money, I believe it was $48 million on players. Also mentioned Deion Sanders spending $1 million on a certain player. Joseph covers Alabama football. Your thoughts? And of course, he actually backtracked on those words a little bit later on Sirius XM. What are your thoughts over his comments? How much truth is in that?
So to clarify, Nick didn't necessarily put out a specific number in terms of how much A&M players got paid. You know, there are speculation and message board rumors, but that specific amount isn't necessarily known. He said that A&M bought every player on their team and didn't necessarily accuse them of doing anything illegal, but just talked about the impact of NIL and how things are going to change. And Jimbo Fisher comes back and has an emergency press conference the next morning, responding to Nick Saban's comments and saying that his track record isn't necessarily clean. I just think, look, man, these are two grown men here. You know, they could have settled it, behind the scenes or what have you. But it's an unfortunate situation because college football is changing and new things are going to have to be embraced. And I know a lot of fans aren't necessarily happy about the direction that it's heading in. So I just think it's, stuff that it's sad that it didn't get settled behind the scenes, but it made for good media coverage. Just everyone was talking about it, still talking about it. That Texas A&M Alabama game on October 8th is going to be incredible.
Might be the biggest game of the season.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, there's a lot of really good games, especially, Alabama's playing Texas in Texas. Like, that's going to be a really great game I'm looking forward to. And Notre Dame is playing Ohio State. But just in terms of everything else going along with it, this is a game I'm really looking forward to. So it just, if anything, it adds even more intensity to that one.
I'm all about intensity. Joseph, tell me your predictions as of May 27th on Alabama's upcoming football season. And can they make it to the big championship game?
Yeah, so I'm not going to predict them to go undefeated. I put that on our message board. I'm not going to be the person to do that and jinx Alabama. I'll give them 11-1 in the regular season, beat Georgia in the SEC championship, and then win it all in the college football playoff. They got the best player on offense and the best player on defense. That's all you need to know about this Alabama team. They have the best player in the country on offense, Bryce Young, the best player on defense, Will Anderson. They've got Nick Saban, the best coach. Anytime that's the situation, I'm going with that team. And, they're going to have some things to address along the offensive line. And, they have a new addition coming in there via the transfer portal. And they have some other transfer portal additions that they're going to be that they've already welcomed. They're going to be welcoming. But yeah, this team will likely win it, barring injuries to Bryce Young or Will Anderson.
Now, is this Alabama team in a rebuilding, or they have a lot of the players coming back from last season?
Yeah. So they lost a few players, but they haven't lost as much as Georgia. Georgia lost, had 15 players drafted. Alabama had about 7. They lost some veteran pieces. Evan Neal along the offensive line, that was a big loss. Jameson Williams at wide receiver. The wide receiver room looked, pretty interesting for Alabama because they had lost Jameson, and you're going to have to rely on some freshmen and some second year guys. But they were able to bring in Jermaine Burton from Georgia, via the transfer portal. He'll probably be wide receiver number one. They got Tyler Harrell via Louisville, speedy wide receiver. I mean, this kid is reminds me of Tyreek Hill in terms of the impact that he can have on the game with his speed. So, yeah, they're rebuilding there, man. It's just as long as, you know, there's relative health in that locker room, Alabama will win it all. I think so.
Yeah, like Alabama's one of those teams that have good continuation. Like, yeah, there might be a rebuilding year, but they look okay. You know?
You don't rebuild, they reload. You know, that's
yeah.
Yeah.
So, quite interesting. Okay, the draft, Evan Neal went to the Giants.
Jameson Williams to Detroit at number 12.
Yeah, your thoughts over the NFL draft for Alabama, and will these NFL teams will feel the boost, I guess you can say.
Yeah, I mean, to say this in all all respect, you know, I'm as a Cowboys fan, I didn't like that Giants Evan Neal draft pick. You got Evan Neal, and then you got Kayvon Thibodeau two picks before. So
right.
The Giants did really well there. But Evan Neal's a monster. I remember covering him in high school and just crazy athleticism. He's if you were to design like a left tackle in Madden or NCAA football when it was around, like you're designing Evan Neal. You know, he's got the height, he's got the movement, the quick feet, you know, the size, everything that you want. So love that. Love that situation for Evan Neal. And then Jameson Williams, obviously coming off torn ACL. This kid's got 4.3 speed. He can absolutely take the top off the defense. I don't like that he's going to Detroit. I mean, like
that's a graveyard.
Yeah, it's a graveyard. It really is. You see Calvin Johnson's career wasted there. Barry Sanders' career wasted there. Matt Stafford goes from Detroit to Los Angeles and in 1 year wins the Super Bowl. So
that's no coincidence.
Yeah, it's not a coincidence at all. So hopefully in 4 or 5 years he's a Cowboy. But no, I think that Detroit fans should be happy with him.
How about John Menchie going to the Texans with no quarterback?
Yeah, it's another graveyard. Like. I mean, I'm considering backup options, you know, backup career options if I go there, man. Like, that's with Deshaun Watson gone, it's just – I know Davis Mills, he had a really good rookie season, and had he been a first-round pick, you know, we'd be talking about him as the next superstar, so that's good. But I just don't think the Texans know what they're doing, man. I really don't.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's up with the Texans. They hired a person from the Patriots, but I haven't seen things turning around there, so we'll see. Hopefully things get better for Houston. I mean – they do have a great stadium for the Super Bowl, but besides that, the team itself needs some retooling. All right.
I said, yes, they do, man. Yes,
yeah, okay. It's time for our predictions. Joseph, give us a score for Miami at the Boston Celtics tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to give the Heat a little bit of some respect, more respect than earlier. I'll go 110-92. And because I honestly think this could be a 25-point game at one point. Like, you've been watching all these games, these conference finals, and they've been kind of blowouts at certain points. And maybe
you know the winner by the first quarter, by the end of the first quarter.
Yeah. It's so weird. I feel like the Celtics may do that, may get off to a really hot start. The last time the Heat played in Boston, it was tough. You know, you start off 0-14 and 1 point 8 minutes into the game. I don't think it's going to be that bad of a start, but yeah, I think Boston will handle them pretty easily.
This happened the same thing for the Mavericks versus Suns as well. Like, each game was like 20-30 point blowouts, and there was like nothing close.
Yeah.
But like the fifth game with the Heat was a little bit better, but still we lost that one. Okay, this is a soccer one. I'm not sure you follow soccer. You may. Who do you got between Real Madrid versus Liverpool tomorrow for the Champions League final?
I mean, as a LeBron fan and LeBron's connection to Liverpool, I have to say Liverpool, right? But then again, I've always had a fondness for Real Madrid, going back to the Cristiano Ronaldo days. So I'll go Real Madrid 3-2.
Real Madrid 3-2. I'm a Liverpool fan, by the way. So, but it's okay. It's okay. I see Liverpool 2-1 or goes to penalties.
Okay.
Go to penalties. Like these past couple of games – for like the FA Cup final and the other one, it was all penalties. It's most likely being paid in Paris, kind of neutral. I think Madrid has a little bit of advantage there because it's closer to Spain. But well, there you have it, Joseph Hastings. One more time, what is the best way to reach you online and also to find out more about your publication on3.com?
Yeah, so on Twitter and Instagram, if you all want to follow me there, it's at Joseph A. Hastings. And then on on3.com, you can go to Bama On 3. That's our fan site. You can check out some of my work on there. You can click on my profile. You can see all the coverage that I've put out, especially if Eli Holstein's commitment to Alabama. Highly encourage you all to check that out. And unless you want to add me on Facebook, I won't say no to a Facebook request, but that'd be a little bit weird. But Twitter.
And hey, why not Facebook, right? Joseph A. Hastings. You can find him on Twitter for the latest and greatest. Now, you guys do late breaking news, or you're gonna focus on more on the NIL stuff?
Oh, breaking news.
Okay, good. Yeah, we'll see what happens. And like, there'll probably be still some news of who gets committed for Bama in the next couple upcoming weeks, I bet.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're gonna be hosting a ton of players on campus for the June official visits. It's gonna be incredible. I'm not gonna be sleeping that much, but. I'm going to take a trip to Cabo or something after Cancun, meet up with LeBron and
LeBron and Chris Paul. They might be hanging out.
Yeah, they may be hanging out. So, yeah.
Hey, come to the Lakers. Interesting. I love Joseph because he's a Kobe fan. The LeBron part, I'm not okay with, but it's okay. It happens, right? It happens. You can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1. This weekend is the Champions League final. We got Indy 500 this weekend as well. We also got the French Open. Are you watching the French Open?
No, but I've got a friend who's going to be giving me all the updates. We play tennis together, and I know he's going to be texting me about all the updates.
I want to get into tennis, but it's a lot of coordination, and I'm not really good at that.
Yeah, I'm not good at it either, man. I just I like playing. It's good cardio. You know, I may be going to the U.S. Open. I'm trying to get a trip to New York. So,
dude, do it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Up in Queens. But anyway, Joseph Hastings, you're a blast. Hope to see you again on the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago, man. Looking forward to it.
Let's go, Liverpool. Let's go, Reds. You'll never walk alone. Good, man.